Everybody kind of showed that, like, man, y'all really showed Zay's personality. Like,
bro, it was awesome.
Yeah. Anybody get a Super Bowl?
I hope, man.
Nah, they gonna get beat.
The Texans are gonna beat the Ravens this week.
I just say.
I'll take that bet.
Well, bet.
Money line.
So you said, so,
nah, you gonna give me
so
points
if
we money
no,
line?
No, no, no. You, what did you just say? You said I mean, the Ravens right. are not going
you,
to
if
get
if we want to say money line, can I get
no,
odds?
But no, but you
can
said,
can I bet
Freddie
T.
You can bet 2,000
I don't want
the Ravens
points.
Are about to beat the Texans.
Because the Ravens, I mean, the Texans are going to win. Right, what I want, just, though, just like the book, why I'm going to bet this motherfucker when I can go bet with DraftKings and get plus 275?
I ain't got no VIG.
Huh?
I ain't got no VIG.
No VIG.
No VIG. Minus 110.
Give me the juice.
I will bet you whatever you want that the Ravens whoop the Texans' ass.
But you can't pay me even money. If I'm betting with
that's
the underdog.
The way bets, that's the way homeboys bet.
You stay
work.
Out of it. Why?
You right. No, you pay. Frank T, yeah, I'm with you when you're right. I'm going to say my ASS
see,
over
you
here.
See, you see how he starts shuffling?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. That's a great Draymond moment. Just stay out of it.
OG, Fred, there's no chance that the Houston Texans beat the Ravens.
Just like you thought.
At home with 2 weeks off.
You thought. The Dolphins were going to do some shit this year. We thought there wasn't a chance that the Jags would miss the playoffs at 8-3. Say something. It's always a chance. It's any given
I'll
Sunday.
Take,
it's
don't
the
bet,
NFL.
Don't give I nobody else
NFL,
that money.
Brother.
Don't give nobody else that money.
The Texans.
Fred, don't give nobody else that money. Give me that money.
The Texans defense is playing lights out.
I know.
CJ, they're hot.
Love
all right,
CJ
think about
Stroud.
It this
I
way.
I love CJ Stroud.
Do
think
we
about
have
it
a
this
bet?
Way.
I want to know.
Do we have a bet? Because I
what
love
do we bet?
CJ
and we ain't got
Stroud.
No bet.
I understand what you're saying. DeMeco Ryan, I love him. Alabama, they were friends.
Alabama.
The Ravens are about to whoop their ass.
Make it 500 light.
What does that mean?
$500, bro. Just light.
Hmm.
Got light. Word is traveling the pivot, doing it all these podcast shows.
Wait, we
gotta have $500 laying around somewhere.
Just give me my money now. You might as well give my money now.
Hold up. Limitless. To me, cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On this vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Niggas to me, cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key.
Hey!
You suck.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the freaking playoffs. This is the pivot. Happy Friday, boys.
What's up?
It's good to be with you guys again. This is for those of you who don't know, which I'm sure you do, which is why you're here. This is Channing. This is Fred. I'm RC. Welcome to the pivot. It's been a good week.
Can I acknowledge something? I just want to acknowledge this, right? Because I read all the comments. Bro, they say you are the OG GOAT hoodie man. They say you got the dopest hoodies, bro. I got to agree with the people.
That's because
can we get the source? That everybody wants the source.
Well, I get them from everywhere. I will basically buy a hoodie from whoever makes a good hoodie. A lot of them I just get on Instagram because Instagram has noticed that I'm an easy target. So they just pop up a sponsored hoodie spot and I say, hey, I'll go here and buy it. And then what happens is people see the hoodies and different hoodie companies send them to me and I wear them and I shout them out. And so if you have a dope hoodie company and you want me to wear your hoodie on the pivot, contact me, DM me, and I'll wear it. Back to the week, man, you know, I don't think people understand how difficult podcasting is. I know Freddie T takes calls all the time, you as well, Channing, and it's always, you know, how do you get your podcast to pop? How does it become popular? How does it become successful? And Chan, you've said it from the beginning, it's about the people. Mm-hmm. Right, I think with us, obviously it starts with Alicia and then, you know, us three, all the people behind the cameras who travel around with us and help us do the job. But I think the most important part of what we do, especially when we're interviewing, is our guest. Mm-hmm. And you never know how it's going to go. Dez Bryant was our guest this week and he was just magnificent, you know. I think he was open and he was vulnerable, he was funny. But the thing that so many people are talking about his show for is when he read the poem or the piece about generational curses. And if you listen throughout the show, when he talks about the things he went through with his father and his stepmother, the things he went through with his mother and how he is actively trying to break those curses for his children because he didn't get that in his life. In the moment, you don't ever really know how things are going to resonate in either one of you. And watching the way people have received it, what do you think about that?
It reminded me of the Jonathan Owens and Simone Biles episode a little bit, only because that clip has traveled so much and it didn't go in depth, much like what you just mentioned there, because it kind of stemmed from him or Dez explaining how he came up. You know, his challenges coming up in a household where he said his mother, grandmother, you know, they sold drugs and all those different things. And then I kind of presented him with the question of how do you stop that from happening? How do you get your children to not have to go down those same paths, for lack of a better thought? I think Dez, you know, it reminded me of the Michael Beasley episode and what The Pivot really is. Just raw, uncut, very transparent, and really just vulnerable. I thought Dez did an amazing job of just giving of himself. And for everyone out there that might see this, I want you guys to just take a moment to really just go and view the entire episode if you've only seen that clip. It was just a beautiful episode, just Dez opening up and allowing you guys to come and see him outside of just being a football player, but the man, the son, you know, the friend, the brother. For me, RC, it was what I love about being on this podcast.
It made me think about Pow Pow. Y'all know what Pow Pow is? No. Pow Pow is what a spanking is to my kids now. We talked about it before, actually. I'll say it's over a year ago, but like spanking your kids, because I got spanked. You know what I'm saying? You get spanked, you act up, you get popped, you get hit. And I even have little Chaz at 3, and he knows what Pow Pow is. So even when it's like, time to go to bed, I don't want to go to bed. And I'm like, okay, well, you can get a Pow Pow. But he was saying that curse, the generational curse, because I got spanked. You can't say beatings anymore and all that stuff. Like, there's an extreme to hitting a kid, but there is physical repercussions. If you do it, and it really made me think about that, because a lot of people say it, and you know, my dad, my mom, different people be at the house, and they be like, "You still spank your kids?" Yes. Yes, I still spank my kids. I don't beat them. It's not aggressive, but that's what I'm saying. So the Crowder Pow Pow, it really made me think about that when Dez was talking about that, and that was the thing that came up, and I never thought it would come up, and that's a good thing. Like Fred was saying about the show, where it made me think about that, like, you know, you can reprimand in different ways than spanking, but if your ass ain't going to bed, I'm still gonna put the hand to you.
And that's why I mentioned the Simone and Jonathan clip, because people just allowed it to be right there at surface level. You know, I think if some people saw this clip with Dez, a lot of people thought it was beautiful, but then you also have people that said, nah, I'm gonna discipline my kids differently. I'm gonna put that belt on their ass. Like, how do you get your kids from saying no, you know, and being disruptive? So that clip, it did remind me of that too, Chan. Like, it wasn't a clip where he was saying, you know, be soft to your kids, but take time. You know, take time, be a parent, learn how to understand. But he also finished it off when he said, listen to your children, more so than doing those other things that he said he did in that piece. So I just thought it was beautiful altogether.
The biggest part about that is experience provides perspective, right? And Dez's experience was that he didn't get those things as a child. Right. And his perspective was he didn't want to be that way. And so that story, or whatever you want to call it, that paragraph is something he uses to remind himself of who he wants to be. And I don't necessarily know if you have to read those things or live those things to the letter of the law. Right? There is going to be a time where your children may do something where there is a conversation that may needs to be had before they go to bed. And if they have to go to bed with that on their mind, the thing you want them to do is go to bed with that on their mind, because you can't live a certain way and be successful, which is our jobs, right? Our jobs ultimately in the end as parents is to help create and support successful adults. right? Adults that in some way add value to the world and other people's lives. That's our job, right? To not raise freaking degenerates.
Yes.
That's our job. And whatever it takes to get there, in the context of loving your children, that's what you do. I think the listening part is huge as well, because as parents, because we love them so much and we feel like we have more wisdom, and having that wisdom, you attempt to impart that wisdom before hearing what they're going through. And for me, man, you know, just with going through different things in life, I got a text from Jordan and Logan this weekend, and Logan wanted to have a conversation with me. And to not go too in-depth into the conversation, for the first 15 minutes, I just sat and I listened. And then when I felt like parts of those conversations, she got to be a little bit womanish, I said, hey, look, I'm still your daddy and you're gonna respect me. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm listening to you doesn't mean you can take advantage of that and speak to me like I'm one, as your parents used to say, one of your little friends, right? But as you continue to have those conversations, man, like you realize that it's not only about what you say to your children, it's about what you do, right? Like your children are watching. Your children are learning. Your children are listening. And because you are saying that they need to be one way, they're also viewing the way that you are. And that is part of their tutelage too. And it's about how you treat other people, right? Because we all, and I've been around you, you guys love your kids, like we all love on our babies, right? And I can't necessarily say decisions you make for your babies that come from a place of love are wrong. Because there's no rule book to it. There's no handbook. They don't teach you how to do it. And I think for Dez, his handbook would have been the way that he was raised. And he wants to make sure that he doesn't do things that way. But my question to y'all would be, what is the measure of right and wrong?
It's funny you say that, because with Dez, it was running away from what he saw was wrong. That's not what you're supposed to do with a kid. That's not how you're supposed to treat a kid. That's not how you're supposed to treat people. But it's something you just said, RC. It's where, and I know y'all, and it's random stuff, but I bring it up, like at the airport, TSA, when y'all give y'all phones and y'all beep y'all phones and they get back to y'all, y'all say, thank you. Appreciate you, ma'am. Have a nice day. And stuff like that, where it's not what you're doing bad, it's what you're doing right. And that's the thing that I think people don't take into account. Kids are watching you. Every time you move, every time you walk around with your kids, they're watching how you treat people. They're watching how you respond to people. They're watching how you interact with people. I think a lot of people don't think about that. Where y'all are very respectful and y'all are good men and I love y'all to death. Yeah, hell, everybody knows from years of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the part that people don't take into account, that they have to fix the kid. But randomly on a Tuesday morning when you go to goddamn Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and get a coffee and they see that person give you the coffee, a random, I fuck with you about this word earlier, a barista. Nigga, you two goddamn black.
That's what
barista.
They are. That's the, like, actual
nobody
name.
Nobody says barista.
That is. That's like when people say things like penis and vagina and people think that those words are weird, but those are the words that they have given us in order to describe and name those body
something.
Parts.
So your
his barista, no matter, yeah. I don't care if he is 6'4" black man, what he is, a barista.
He's a barista.
Right?
My freaking barista burnt my beans. That's what shit he was saying.
He be talking about barista.
My freaking.
But y'all dumb as hell. But to that point, a barista that's just giving you a coffee, you'll never see that person again in your life. And when the kids see you, that person give you a coffee and you say, thank you so much, I appreciate you, brother. Like, that's why I think you build a kid's character. That's why I think you build a kid what they're gonna be and how they're gonna grow up, other than just reprimanding. It's telling them when they're doing wrong. I think a lot of people don't show their kids how to do right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people fail.
Yeah, I agree with you on that too, Channing. I think it's just really been just an open-minded, you know, human being, or just an open-minded parent, like taking the time to think and understanding what the repercussions of your decisions and actions, how would that affect your child? I saw something Nick Saban posted the other day talking about when his players would do something You know, people would turn and want him to, you know, suspend the players, you know, or kick him off the team, kick him out of school. But he talked about the story of
Musim Muhammad.
Correct.
Yeah, Moose.
Moose. He had a 15-year career. He had an opportunity where that people wanted him to kick him out of school, but he ended up sticking with him, and he made him run and put him through all that punishment stuff. And eventually, long story short, he ended up being a success story. He owns companies and part of big businesses. And really, the measure of right or wrong is how your heart feels about that particular individual. If you're a parent, how do you try to get the best out of your son or daughter, right? And just doing those necessary things, but also thinking long term. We sometimes want to pow-pow their asses, but you have to take a lot of emotions out and say, sometimes decompress, and then come back and approach. So everybody has different parenting skills. I think if you take the time and think first rather than react, come up with certain tactics, like don't discipline with your hand. Maybe get, you know, something so the child can understand the difference between discipline and abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a lot of different skills you can develop, but yeah, I don't know. Everybody's gonna be different. But I think just taking your time, being open-minded, thinking before you react with a child, feeding life into them, Dad said that. I think that's important.
I mean, it's like anything else in the world though, right? It's like the stuff that felt good or bad to us is things we learned to do or to not do, right? The things that hurt or helped us are the things that we learned to do or to not do. You know, it's like when I got spanked as a child, I never looked at my parents and hated them, or I never looked at my parents as if they were trying to hurt me. Like, I hated it, you know what I mean? I hated getting spanked, but I was like, I get it. I did some effed up stuff. They had to discipline me. Now I know if I do this again, this is the consequence, right? And sometimes I knew they resorted to that because they had told me a million times to not do that. And so to my parents, obviously, this little dodo ain't getting it. So here's how we're gonna teach him to get it. It wasn't about the amount of pain they could inflict on me. It was knowing that my parents would do absolutely anything in the world for me, right? And the last thing that they would ever want for me is to hurt, that I've done something that they feel is getting so far out of the way of allowing me to grow up as a productive human that they had to hurt me themselves, right? Like, to me, that's what the love does, right? It's like you say, take the emotion out of it. I don't know how to take emotion out of making decisions for my children.
Redirecting your course and what we want you to do and whatever it takes to do it.
I'm the dummy. I'm gonna be honest with y'all, bro. I am the dummy that says out loud, and my kids know it, and I think they take advantage of it sometimes. There is nothing they can do that's gonna make me stop loving them. Right. Zero. And unfortunately for me, sometimes it also means to me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, you got disrespectful. Don't change the fact that I've loved you since I knew you.
Still love.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's the hardest part about trying to do the right thing and trying to take emotion out of it. It is that it is actually the most emotional thing in the world, because apart from anything else that we ever get to do, we ever accomplish, we ever acquire, these are the things that, like, are the most us than anything else in the world. Right? And like, you see yourself in all of them in different ways. And then they're all different, right? Which would work for one of the little dummies, don't work for the second little dummy, right? And then by the time I got to the third little dummy, I was so tired, I wasn't even trying. Like, I was like, you know what? You're right. If you want that, let's just buy it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And so, like, you just go through this stuff. And
that's kind of what Dez was talking about with the generational curses. Everything's not a generational curse.
Nope.
Everything's not. So if you know that this happened, like Dez was talking about, that he didn't eat for days.
That's an evil human.
No matter what your kid's doing, you got to feed. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's an evil human.
As a grown man, a grown woman, think about that when you're disciplining your kids or when you're raising kids. Like, whatever you saw, you can see what's doing it. I might give y'all two motherfucking pow-pow, especially you talking about you can't spank them. I'm a pow-pow your ass here in a second, friend. Hey. But
hey, you're only as cool as you treat people.
And that's gonna be listen.
Friend, it always fits.
We gonna roll around on this goddamn floor when I pow-pow your ass here in a second.
But you sound like you wanna pow-pow me.
Hey guys,
I'm saying.
Pause.
You got it.
We gonna roll around on the floor when I pow-pow your ass.
Why y'all gotta make everything sexual?
That's what you be talking about, man.
I ain't got time for that. Everybody knew pow-pow was a spanking.
Hey, speaking of pow-pows, you know who got a pow-pow? Dez's former team.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. Oof. Here's what's funny about it. We had to cut like 10 minutes out of the episode, right? Because we shot it last week. We put it out on Tuesday. We did a whole thing on the Cowboys winning, how great the quarterback had played, the fact that he had the Ravens in the AFC. Who do we pick out of Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott? Who would win the Super Bowl? And he was great on it, like NFL analyst, great on it.
Locked
and
in.
Chop that. But we get here to say, do you feel vindicated in your thoughts that Dak Prescott could not win a Super Bowl?
He's never going to. He's not going to. He's not made that way. There's certain people. Dak is never going to carry a team to the Super Bowl. And that was the point I was making. We've seen 12 win seasons out of Dak. We've seen that.
36 wins. They have the most regular season wins in the last 3 years.
You're going to get to the playoffs, and you're going to put up 7, 19, 12 points. And I think that's what they put up over the last 3 years. And they're not going to do it offensively. Overall, and I see a lot of people talking about the Dallas Cowboys franchise, where what Jerry Jones has to do, a lot of people jumped on that. Could Bill Belichick be there? I don't think Mike McCarthy's the guy. I don't know how y'all feel about that. But what's the answer to Dallas? I do not think Dak is the answer to Dallas. And that's why I got so much criticism 3-4 months ago. And you saw it. Dak is not that person that's going to take a team to the Super Bowl. I really feel that way. I honestly hope Dak proves me wrong, but I would bet money he doesn't.
Fred?
Hey, you remember when we had to call HR to tell HR about HR for making certain comments? It seemed like you were right. But never is a strong word. I put never in the hate category. I don't like to say I hate, and I don't like to really say never. You know, Dak did prove you.
You know what I hate?
Wait.
The fact that the Dallas Cowboys never play in the playoffs like they play in the regular season.
That is so
don't
true.
Don't say never,
now,
because Fred's going to get mad at you.
But not never, because you got to go back to the 90s. So of recent years, maybe you can say that. But never, that's still not accurate, and it's not true. We can actually go and find research that will make that comment invalid.
Are you talking about when they were beating Jim Kelly?
I'm talking about.
You're talking about never. Jim Kelly?
That never falls into that window. Yes. I don't know.
Bro, that's Jim Kelly's 172.
Who cares? Never is never. Right or
Fred,
wrong?
I'm just trying to prove that. America's team.
Fred, you are correct.
That's
it's
all
not
I
like
mean.
If we're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars saying they've never won a Super Bowl.
Well, you are correct about that.
There you go.
And they have not been around as long as, let's say, the Pittsburgh Steelers or even the fucking garbage-ass Miami Dolphins.
Now you'll get mad at me about the Dolphins. Now you want to get mad at me.
Sensitive.
You won't be mad at me.
Y'all talking about my team. I got to defend my guys.
I'm going to call Larry Zonka to come whoop your ass. How about Larry Zonka whoop your ass?
The bottom fell out. But let me make my point. Until Dak can show me otherwise or the Cowboys can show me otherwise, I got to feel kind of like y'all feel. And that's so strong for me, man, because I root for Dak. You know, I don't really care about the Cowboys winning it, but I root for Dak because I'm more of an optimistic person and I love an underdog story. And I want Dak to go out there and prove people wrong. And he had hit a stride where we thought, okay, this was it. So my expectations for Dallas was different than previous years because we saw Dak doing things that he hadn't done in previous years, even in the regular season. And then we get to the postseason and it's the same Cowboys, it was the same Dak. And it's tough to really kind of fight for that. But I ain't going to say never. That's my take. That's my point.
I don't think when it comes to Dak and the Cowboys, you could say never, but you can definitely say more than likely. In the sense that more than likely, this is what you're going to get because this has been our experience. You go back to Dak's rookie year, obviously, a team that wins 13 games. you know, you fall flat. Then 2019, his numbers were better than this year. 2021, I believe his numbers were better again, better than this year as well. Here is my thought on Dak, because I, like you, Fred, root for him, right? I've, and many times, gone to bat for the person through the sorts of adversities Dak has gone through with his mother, the sorts of adversities losing a brother, and continuing to push through that and be the humanitarian, the human that he is.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dak Prescott, the football player, will never trick me again. I let him fool me throughout the regular season, and I said he was different because I felt it was the leadership. I watched him change who he was both publicly and on the field after the San Francisco 49ers game, the way that he addressed the media, the way that he took accountability for his team. Those are the things you want from a leader. Those are the things you want from a captain. And I think the other thing Dak did was fooled himself.
How you say that?
Yeah.
See, what happened to us in Pittsburgh was, just to get off the subject for a second, we stopped enjoying the little things. Because we were champions. We had experienced so much success. And Coach Tomlin would put plays on film on Wednesday, and Debo would make a great play. Troy would make a great play. Kiesel, me, Ike, whoever it was, and we wouldn't celebrate. Because it got so routine. And for us, the North Star was always the Super Bowl. So it was hard to enjoy the moments that led up to it because those were expected. Mm-hmm. See, for Dak and the Cowboys, those aren't expected because Dak, this is new for you, mm-hmm. right? You haven't played in a way where people actually believe. And so to me, it started to border on the line of arrogance, entitlement. You win the NFC East, the reporter asks you, where's the hat? And you like, I'm thinking about bigger things. I want bigger things. We all do, right? But it's nah, you earn that. And you can wear the hat. And it should be applauded that other people are wearing the hat. It should be noted that you guys have had this accomplishment. Because without this accomplishment, it's hard to get the next accomplishment, right? It's hard to get that stair step. And I feel like he put himself there. He put the team there. They got the feeling of being there before they were there because they've never been there. And when I hear Jerry Jones say, I'm amazed that we're here, it tells me that all throughout that building, they felt like losing was an impossibility, which we all know when you start to feel like losing is an impossibility and you aren't preparing in a way where you're expected to get punched in the mouth. See, it's a difference, right? Mm-hmm. Think about if me and you squaring up, I know we got an issue, I know we got beef, right? And you punch me. I'm expecting that. I'm waiting on it. I'm ready for a reaction. I'm ready to block it. I'm ready to move. If I'm just walking down the street and I think we cool, and for some reason you got beef with me and you haul off and steal on me, it affects me in an entirely different way.
Yeah.
It was like they got stole on. It was like nobody told them it was a fight because
they,
to them,
and they grabbed their pearls.
Right. You know, and like they never rebounded. And so now, like, how do you ever believe in them again? There's nothing. I won't analyze Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys again during his tenure through the first 18 weeks of the season. I don't care what they do. They could win all 17 and 1. They can win all 17 games.
16-1, whatever it is.
Yep.
Some dudes think they can do it, and some dudes can't. Do whatever you want. Some people can't create an orgasm.
I told you it goes back to sex with you, bro.
Some people can't create an orgasm. You can lead up. You can dance around. You can do whatever. Put on whatever clothes you want to. Wear all the stuff, crazy stuff. Put on outfit. And everything's leading up, and you're doing good. You 7-1, you 8-6, whatever it is, 10-2. And then you have to create that orgasm.
Orgasm?
Orgasm.
Pow, pow.
And you can't.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like when you get to that don't stop right there, but you've been there already, and you gotta stop.
You know what? Is that Arson? If anybody ever heard somebody say deeper, and you got your whole pelvis inside, I ain't got no more. I ain't got nothing left. Why can I go any further?
Like, you confused.
Hey, yeah, say, deeper. Bitch, it's over for me. I ain't even got nothing left.
You have a baby.
That's what the Cowboys are. When you doing your best,
the Cowboys deep. They
and you say deeper. They're not gonna go deeper. That's that. They can't get the playoff coochie. They in regular season coochie.
Here we go.
The Cowboys can tell regular season.
New boys say, here we go. Never saw this so sad. They say it sounded like, here we go. I think, though, it kind of just goes to the point that, man, like sometimes it ain't for you, you know? And the other difficult part is, right, Dak's a lot better than some of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls.
He's better than some of the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs.
You know, and when you look at that, you're almost like, that's sad. But let's really think about at least the playoffs we saw this weekend. If we're taking one weekend, you go, is Dak Prescott better than Jordan Love? No. Mm-hmm. Is Dak Prescott better than Matthew Stafford, who went for 365 in a loss back in Detroit? No. Is he better than Jared Goff this weekend? No. Is he better than C.J. Stroud
this weekend? Quarterback in Texas?
Is he better than Patrick Mahomes this weekend? Right? He's better than Tua.
Is he better than Baker Mayfield?
Not this weekend. And so I think, like, when you look at that, the bottom line is this, man. We are all judged when it comes to maybe in life and maybe in football. And in football for sure. We are all judged on who we are in the biggest moments. Who we are on the daily is what makes the people around us love us. Who we are in the biggest moments is what makes people on the outside respect us, right? Like, when you walk into a game with Dak Prescott for 3.5 quarters, he might tell your tail up. I'm not gonna lie. When it gets to the end, what you gonna look at your team and say, hey, he gonna make a mistake. Hey, he gonna give us a chance. And to me, like, that's a tough position to be in.
I would say it's something with us, well, with you, RC, that took that to the next level was the DeMar Hamlin situation. When that happened, there is not a lot of people that could sit up there that Monday night and present to the world how you presented to the world. And I think that took Ryan Clark, the RC we know, 100%. To a different level. People could not deal with. People did not know. I'm sitting at home. We told the story. I'm sitting at home with my son, and my son's asking me questions. I can't answer to a 12-year-old boy, and you answer to the world. And that's why I'm saying that, like, the spotlight being on you and to perform and to do it, that's what the greats do. And I would think amongst us, that was something when you were talking that I thought about, like, that moment was something that show out. And you showed out.
It's about everything that leads up to the moment, though. It's about those experiences because I try to explain this to people about playing in the stadium, and I don't think people, like, actually get it, right? Before the snap of a football, right? Like, I personally, I'd go deaf, right? And so if the ball is about to be snapped, the rest of, like, the stands, the coaches, all that first goes quiet for me, right? And then after it goes quiet, it gets black, right? And so now, for me, all I see is the 21 other people in pads, you know? Like, that's what you start focusing on. And then they become the only thing I can hear. So I can hear the quarterback. I can hear Troy or Ike or Potsy, you know what I'm saying? Down left, right? You know, combo, 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 like, all of that happens. And then once it's snapped, like, everything slows down. Because if it's going too fast for me, right? That means I'm not prepared, but I'm prepared, right? And so, like, the stuff is moving, or if we comboing the tight end in the back, and now the tight end goes naked across the back, now I'm pot dog, pot dog, pot dog. And as soon as that happened, I get right to the back, right? Or they throw the football, and I know I got to be inside out. Ike's forcing, I go inside out, I make the tackle, and then as soon as I hit the ground, everything turns back on, right? That is what, and I'm not talking about like being great in that sense, but that is what the greats do. Like Tom Brady knows that there's 20 seconds on the clock, but 20 seconds on the clock is not affecting Tom Brady. He's not living by that clock. He's living by what I have to accomplish in that moment. What happens to the other people is when they walk into the stadium, they walk into the stadium like, this is a playoff game. Right, instead of walking into the stadium, like, I have been preparing for this for the last 18 weeks. This is just another game. And I think those things make it difficult. Like you say, which I get, right? And I appreciate, you know, both of y'all, because y'all always say very kind things about me. Like you were like, I was presenting to the world. But really, I was just talking to Scott. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like in that moment, it was, well, who else had played a football game and almost lost his life playing that game? Not many people, you know what I'm saying, who had to recover from that and find a way to play again? Not many people, right? Who was actually in the hospital or who had actually said their final prayer, at least that they thought, that then was told, well, you might be able to play again. Do you still want to try? That said yes. And so to me, it was like, I just got to tell that story. The problem with Dak is when it's time to tell his story to the world, he sees the entire world instead of finishing the story. And that's like, that's it. Like when you win a Super Bowl, you just told a story. You know what I'm saying? You can't worry about everybody else until you write the book. And I think right now, if you look at his book, the mother effer, you know how you watch a movie and that whole start off hot and then it don't have no climax?
Yeah.
Yeah. And for like for your analogy, it'll be she got you right, but she
yeah, nobody nothing. That ain't gonna make nobody nothing. We just all stroking. Ah, damn, it's 7:30 in the morning, bitch. I gotta go to work.
It's bro.
You hit a lot of good points, RC, man.
Yeah.
I'm just over here as if I had never heard it before. And I'm over here and just admiring those thoughts, you know, before the play snap, and really just that moment, like this conversation makes me realize how much I missed the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of those moments. Mm. But understanding that the greatness is internal. Like you said, Tom Brady, you're not looking at the clock. It's all inside. Everything's inside because that's how well he's prepared. And even those moments when that ball snapped, everything does go silent. You know, at least the external factors go silent. And what I recall or remember most is all I would hear is big guys grunting or me telling myself, you know, that's it. You know, just those quick thoughts, me talking to myself within those 4 seconds. Then after that 4 seconds, 5 seconds is up, it's and all of this. You can kind of gauge or know how the play was and this and that according to the fan, man. So I appreciate that trip down memory lane, because I don't go there often for a lot of reasons, because I don't want to go or fall into depression. And so I just kind of blow it off like, but I definitely missed the game, man. It's crazy.
And quickly, something both of y'all brought up Brady. People ask me all the time, what's different about Brady? Brady had the strongest arm. Brady couldn't make every throw and all that. But one thing I remember about Brady when people ask me about him was I remember, I would say, no matter where the game is, no matter what the score is, he looked like visually, because you think about, I'm a middle linebacker. I'm standing this close to Brady on some plays. He looked like he was in the backyard throwing ball with his kids.
He did, bro.
I remember the year with him and Moss. What was that? What was him and Moss? 07. With him and Moss. I remember with him and Moss, where he looked out and smiled at Moss because he saw it was cover one. And Moss hit our ass that year. Moss hit us with 3, I think, in Miami. And I remember him, and I'm sitting like you saying, We thinking about strong left, hey, tight left, hey, half. I'm trying to tilt the nose guards to the fullback, and I'm just doing all that. I'm yelling at the safety, and I'm panicking. And I look across and look Brady in the eyes, and he looks at one, looks at Randy Moss, and he smiles, and they do a little sign, I got you. And he just sit back there cool and just kick his leg. And it was so calm. That shit is scary to play a motherfucker like that.
You know why? I can go a few places with this, but my 2 years there for my cup of coffee, man, just sharing the meeting rooms, the practice field, the locker room. He did everything in preparation for the game, but he prepared for the game or for practice just like he prepared for game. He did everything the same. It was seamless. And when you said he was over there just smiling, because he already knew what was coming. There was nothing he didn't see in practice. And, you know, people talk about the Patriot way and Belichick and all this other stuff. You talk about two guys on the same page and communicating and just being overly prepared. It was those two.
Yeah.
So
who do you credit the most? And being there in 2 years, who would you credit the most for the Patriot way working?
Don't lie, all right. Fred. No, don't, no. Fred, I'm don't gonna lie. Get,
Belichick was great at, we win by 50. Fuck. I see 20 fucking errors right here. Mm-hmm. That ain't shit. Yeah, I should have won by 70. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you have to have those constant reminders. The reminders that as soon as you walk in the building, you're at work now. Mm-hmm. We're gonna follow these four things when you come in the door. Shut the outside world off. Mm-hmm. You know, so he has to get credit for that, right? Allowing you to remove all of the outside factors and you just focus on this right here. Tom was amazing. I can see this guy outside of my eye. He wants me to say something else, but I'm gonna read my thought. I think on the field, Tom drove, you know, he was the driver, he was the caboose, he was everything. But I think collectively, that was just a perfect marriage. You don't hear those often. I don't think it was the players gotta play, coaches gotta coach. But I think Tom learned a great deal from Bill and how to be a pro and how to go out and attack those moments as the pro as it needed to be. So without Bill showing Tom how to come up and be a pro, I don't think Tom would be as great as he is.
I think
Tom can go to other places and still be a great fucking quarterback. But I think Bill Belichick having a young Tom Brady and showing him how to go up and be a pro and teach him how to prepare, I think that deserves something, man.
That's just cute, Freddie. I love you to death, Freddie. That's just cute. So Belichick can call out the 12 mistakes that they make and y'all can do it. Brady leaves the Bucs, leaves the Patriots and go wins a Super Bowl with the Bucs. Belichick gets Zappy and fucking Mac Jones and can't do a goddamn thing.
Right.
So that was the cog. To answer your question, RC, is it proven right now? Danny, the cog was Tom
Danny
Brady.
Danny Amendola said this, and I may misquote it, but he said, we worked for Bill, but we played for Tom.
Right. And he had that influence. I am saying the development of Tom Brady and the greatness wouldn't be exact or what we witnessed without him having Coach Belichick in those early years to teach him how to be.
I think what happens is it's like anything else. You know, you find somebody with the foundation of something. Like Tom obviously had this incredibly competitive foundation. He had these tools that eventually, if you were playing for Pittsburgh, became the uses of evil. But, you know, and then Belichick was able to cultivate those things and sort of create a mini Belichick in someone who was able to me, I think, to communicate and live in a way where the people in that building followed it. Yeah. And so he was able to create a conduit of his message through the best player in the world at the time, or through the greatest player we've ever seen. And I do think that there is a credit that belongs there. And if you look at it though, what's happened now is because he doesn't have a Tom at quarterback, they can stop everybody. They can't score on anybody. And so that's what's going to be interesting with this next spot. Does he have a quarterback? Because the X's and O's haven't passed Bill Belichick by. The discipline of preparation haven't passed him by. What it is, we have to maybe admit he's not great offensively. but he had the greatest ever offensively, and that helped him win. I think
he got to give up the GM.
He is. Yeah, nobody else is going to let him do that.
He cannot. Yeah, he's not.
He's like you at Publix. He just walks around and talks to everybody.
That's what I love. Lisa. Lisa gives me salmon.
Yeah.
She's nice.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous. Fellas, I mean, this is the time of year. You saw it last week. It was cold, right? That's playoff football. Our partners at DraftKings, they still the same, though. They don't change when the moment gets heated, right? They ain't doing what Dallas did. So any new customer that signs up right now for DraftKings, you place a $5 bet, you use the promo code DEFENSE, instantly $200 in bonus bets.
And right now you get a no-sweat bet, bro. You get a bet. If that bet doesn't hit, you get a bonus bet on top of that. You know they're going to watch out for you. And y'all know I love the same game parlays. You know I'm hitting on the overs. Same game, the receiving yards and all that, and you give yourself a chance to win even more bread.
I love those same game parlays. Look, all you need is this device and just go and create your own account on DraftKings Sportsbook. And if it's not in your state, don't worry about it. We still got DraftKings Daily Fantasy, give you an opportunity to get in the game. Pivot.
Hey, use the promo code
DEFENSE.
Any new customer placing a $5 bet instantly gets $200 in bonus bets. This is the last week that Chan ever played, but me and Freddie T made championships.
I ain't never been nowhere.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The last person who was very excited, and we will be finished in a second, about the Cowboys losing was Stephen A. But I'm also glad that he got an opportunity to be excited because, you know, he was talking to, what's old boy?
They called him the fat bitch.
Yes.
That's okay. That's
that's what he called
him. Yeah.
I think at some point when a person continues to speak about you when it's actually not their job, that's personal. Mm-hmm. Right? If you are supposed to be analyzing sports, but you continue to analyze me, then you got a problem with me. Because I don't play sports. And I think that's what had happened to Stephen A. over and over again. And that has to be addressed. The other piece of it is, too, like, they used to have a relationship. And I don't want to call it a friendship because I don't know enough about it. But you got to think, for two African-American writers coming up in their day, that had to be a close-knit community, right? And you had to look out for each other. And when I heard him say, look, like, did you tell the world you betrayed me, right? Like, that's a hell of a word. Judas is a betrayer.
Yes.
Right? You know, and so when you hear that, like, it made me feel it more because I was like, you know me, I was like, shoot, I don't like him anyway. I was like, we all got beef. But when you... when you look at sort of like, I think the new medium has put us in a place to where people can speak about one another in that way or talk to each other, or you're speaking on people who do the same job or who are peers and those things. I guess just like, what do you guys take from the way the interactions are now? Players shoot back at analysts,
yeah,
right? Analysts shoot back at players. Analysts shoot at analysts. Colleagues shoot at colleagues. Why do you think that's become such a common theme now?
Social media created it. Because you can say whatever you want at anybody and you don't have to deal with the consequences. And that's the thing with Whitlock. And the thing with Whitlock is different because everybody knows what side he chose. You can look where his platform is. You can look at it's crazy to say, bro. I'm not even political. You can look at the color of this motherfucker's mic. Like, you saw his side, so he jumped on a frat and half of my arrests in Florida were fighting frat boys. So you get somebody that's gonna back you and you're gonna run towards something, you know, people are behind you, you're gonna run towards it. I honestly love it. I think it's vile. I think it's controversial. But it's great because I hated the fact that, I hated the fact when I played, there were people in Miami that could talk all kind of shit about me. Crowder can't cover a tight end, and they writing all kind of shit. He can't cover. Oh, he plays a run, he can't cover. And I can't reach out and touch you as you talk shit about me every single Monday morning in the Miami Herald and all that. With social media now, with the voices you can have, I wish I had a podcast when I played in 05. I'd have told all them bitches, y'all can't do shit either. Bitch, you had the same job for 19 years. You ain't doing shit. You ain't moving up. So I love the fact that now people can interact and you can, once you criticize somebody or once you get on somebody, like with, I didn't even say with Fred, we talked recently with the dudes that was giving you nicknames and all that. Mm-hmm. Back when Freddie played, Freddie couldn't respond to motherfucker calling Fragile Freddie. I don't think if somebody called Freddie a name, like I'm talking about a dude coming, hey, you can't cover, blah, blah, blah. Walk up and tell me that, tell me to my face. I'm not even saying I'm going to punch you in your face. I'm going to fight.
Get an opportunity to at least defend yourself.
I want a debate platform. And I think that's what the new media is giving people, a debate platform. That, okay, well, back this up. Show me stats if you want to show me. Show me your side of it. Because now you can just throw this damn article out there and you're getting paid to throw an article out there. I'm working every damn day to try to get better and try to work and try to grind and try to do that. But you can say whatever the hell you want about me. So the thing with Whitlock, Stephen A, anybody to argue, who's the white boy that wear the nice shoes and the little goofy ass outfits?
Skip
and all the people he messed with. I want them to talk to each other because that's what life is supposed to be and not hide behind John 4567894 in your goddamn parents' basement. I say it all the time.
Yeah, I don't think social media created it.
Yes, it did.
I think social media exposed it. It allowed for it to be amplified. It didn't create it. Think about newspapers. You know, good stories don't last. Negativity, that bullshit gonna travel much further and much longer, and it's louder. Good stuff it doesn't always come across as quality. But you have some negative stuff. Why do you watch the news? You watch the news to see where's the drama, what's coming on, what can I see, what bullshit happened today. And as it relates to Stephen A. and journalism, I think people just taking advantage of those moments just because they can. So that's it, exposure. They can be loud because they can be loud. But social media did not create it. You had a situation where, for example, Mos Def, mm-hmm. You know, he said Drake wasn't hip hop. And he went back, he went further to say Drake sounded, you can listen to him while you're shopping. Mm-hmm. So Drake kind of went back and said, well, no, I am hip hop. What it is in this day and age, it's certain views and certain, I'll read this thing that he posted, but he went back and said, it's the older guys who are taking advantage of the moment. Journalistic world cashing out on negativity and discouraging the youth from finding their way more now than ever. The noise is all calculated. It's the truth. A lot of these people, Stephen A say, and I'm with Stephen A, but when Drake mentioned being calculated, he took his time, gathered his thoughts, and said, all right, this is what I'm pushing out there. Because I hear he went to his preacher and some other family members. I don't know how true that part is, but this is what I'm hearing, right? Or what I heard. Within that moment, if somebody ruffled my feathers and I had time to go and talk to all these people and I got to ask this, not necessarily permission, but I'm consulting with RC, what you think about this? Chan, what you think about this? Now I'll go and think about it for a moment. I might defuse the whole entire fucking situation. We come across that plenty of times with old boy and how we were going to respond there. But then we have time where we said, all right, fuck it. That's being calculated. So I don't think social media, going back to you, Chan, I don't think social media created it. But it certainly exposed a lot of negativity that people travel with or just beefs and issues that people have. And journalism is just not, long are the days of Stuart Scott having fun when you're out there talking about players and Boomer and all that stuff. People just get on, make they stupid, sometimes arrogant and ignorant takes and don't give a fuck about it.
I think first of all, I want to say, like I hit Stephen A. I thought it was time for him to speak up for himself. I'm glad he did it. You know, I think it's not my place to say if your approach is right or wrong. Your approach is your approach. And I think those things are built based on who you are. You know, you mentioned our situation, you know, and for the longest time, I never spoke on it because it wasn't necessarily my situation. It became my situation eventually, and, you know, we were able to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I think even in that, though, I wanted to talk about it in a in an energy that was more based in fact than an energy of emotion, right? Because that means if I approach it in a certain way or if my energy is at a certain level, that level of energy can be returned to me. And if it's returned to me in the wrong way, I know how I want to address it. Mm-hmm. Every response or the responses start to get more disrespectful, right? And as the responses start to get more disrespectful, to me, it now reaches back to the core of the person. Back when I was talking about AB, like I held that junk for 5 years because it didn't pertain to football. And then when it pertained to football, I said it, he had an issue with it. So he sends the tweet out, whenever he sees me, it's on site. Now, you can send that tweet out to other people who may do my job or to people who have learned to do my job through the ranks of journalism, right? And they may not respond or they may laugh about it or they may try to use it for more fodder to continue to build a brand or to continue to create noise. I'm not built that way, right? Because I take that knowing who Antonio Brown is, and I've said it before, Antonio Brown ain't scared of me. Knowing who as Antonio Brown is, I take that as a fact. That when he sees me, it's on site.
We got it.
Right?
We got a lot
So my thought was, hey, you got a private jet. You know where I live. Right? Or we can go behind any random building, just get it done, shake hands, and move on. And so I try to address people in the way that I think I'd receive it, because I don't want to incite something that may put me in a position where I got to make a decision. And I think, like, I've had to learn, right, at 44, finally, I need to be too mature to think I want to have physical altercations with people. I need to mature out of that, right? But because of that, I also feel that, like, we can't talk to people in a certain way. And I have, like, never addressed, like, I got this old dude that hates me on social media that DMs me all the time. He's like a 70-year-old Steeler fan. He's a Wiley fan. Right. And so when I brought up the when I was talking about Brandon Marshall and not walking around people, I guess he did something on his show where he said at a Stuart Scott event with Michael Eaves, I walked around him. And for me, it was one. I've asked for your number. I've asked for your address. I've asked for all these ways for us to be able to have like a real conversation about whatever issue it is that you may have with me or we may have with one another. You've denied all those things and said that you are a verbal and social media sparrer. I'm not. I walk into Stuart Scott's event, it's for Michael Eaves, right? And so my first thought once I see him there is like, just ignore him, don't talk to him, doesn't matter, because he's already told you that he is not about that sort of in-person confrontation, right? So then we take a picture or whatever, he's behind me, he reaches his hand, reaches out to shake my hand. And for me, I was like, okay, like this guy's reaching out to shake his hand. We don't have to have a conversation. I don't have to be fake. I'm gonna respect Michael Eaves. I'm for sure gonna respect Stuart Scott's legacy. I'm gonna shake his hand and go on about my business, right? But see, when you're losing, right? And someone else is winning, you got to use their name because nobody's going to listen to you unless you're talking about somebody that people care about.
Mm. I see what you did there.
Right? Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so now, right, I have to fight against myself because my thought is I want him to know that I will never walk around him again any days in my life. Because I try to respect other people and now you've disrespected me using it. And I think that has now become what the media is, though, right? Let me be disrespectful in a way that I hope you have earned so much in your life or garnered so much in your life that you won't resort to things that'll take those things away. And I think for me, that's the hardest part is like, I rather we have the ability to just talk about the sport or talk about life and really enrich people in a way where they get to decide whether they like it or not. And now it's become, how do I use the next man who is accomplishing things that I'm no longer accomplished or I've never accomplished to build myself up? And I don't feel like we should be using other humans as stairs when we could all just be on an elevator. And I think that's the problem with who we've become in the new media. And I hope that we can start working to change that.
Well said. I tell you, I love using the word spar. There's people that spar, and there's people that fight. The fighters are who are ranked, who are coming up, who are progressing, who are getting
the accolades, the acclaim.
Those are fighters. The sparring people are just paid for a couple days a week. That's what I say on that whole thing, and I love the way you put it, because sparrers don't come up. Sparrers don't get ranked.
Before we go, though, I do want to mention a friend of the show, someone that's been really good to us, Michael Strahan. It was revealed last week his daughter, Isabella, one of his twins, had to have a brain tumor removed. If anybody was paying attention, he wasn't on the morning show. He was taking some time away. And I just want to say to Michael, to his family, one, we're praying, you know, with you and for you. It was such a beautiful thing to see him alongside his daughter and to witness her strength. Speaking with Robin Roberts, who has also been through, you know, those treatments and has fought cancer and has inspired so many. I just thought it was a beautiful moment to see strength, to see perseverance, but also joy. You know, the smile on her face is one of those things that makes you sort of go, damn, what I'm around here pouting about? Yeah. You know, this is a young lady in college in what are supposed to be like the most fun, vibrant times of her life, and she's fighting for it. And to have the strength to go before the world, you know, as you mentioned about certain things earlier, man, and show us and prove to herself that she's bigger than any ailment, you know. And since we had D1 on the show, man, I say this all the time, man, she don't look like what she's been through. Yeah. When you could tell, or when you could see that smile on her face. So to Michael, man, and the family, thank you for sharing her with us and giving us an opportunity to see what love looks like, to see what support looks like, to see what strength looks like, man. And from myself, Freddie T, Chan, the entire Pivot, man, we are with you guys, man, and praying with y'all for sure. Hold up, limitless, take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust, limitless, take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up.